Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here to the service this morning in Jesus' precious name. And I bring you greetings from Canada and also from Romania. Exciting times we had in those places. We'll show you the clip shortly. But it is important for you to know that there is no place like home. And we are happy to be home. You may not be happy that we are back home, but I am happy to be home. And if your happiness is not confirmed, the next time I will just stay for the Sunday there. You are the one to confirm it. There is a burden of proof on you, burden of responsibility to prove that you are happy that will return back. Hallelujah. Because how many of you know that those people don't mind if we remain there? I'm sure you see their actions and reactions and receptions. But again, truth is, there's nowhere like home. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. This morning's Blessing Sunday, we are going to be maybe concluding on the subject we started last month. Walking in the life of God. Living the life of God. I believe this is part 5. Media, can you confirm? Yes, characteristics of the life of God, part 5. We began the subject some a few weeks back. And you can do a very sharp recap. But God created man in his image, and God breathed into man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. And so if we know how to look like, or know what to look like, we should know how God looks like. We began by looking at the characteristics of the life of God. What is it that makes God to be God? And what is it, how is it that we are to live? Number one characteristic was the character of spirituality. That God is spiritual. A man is a spiritual being. And our best is realized as we follow the path of spirituality. Number 2 is supernaturality. God is a supernatural being. He lives in the realm of signs and wonders. And the realm of signs and wonders is meant to be our natural realm. Supernaturality is a supernatural God. Number 3 is vitality. He's a sickless God. Sickless. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's not tired. He has no headache. Number 5 is liberty. God can't be bound. And if God created us in his image and likeness, we are not permitted to be bound. Number 6 is durability. Durability. Wired to last. From everlasting to everlasting. That is God. We're not created to fade away in a short time. Not created to be cut short in a short time. You shall fulfill your days. Somebody say loud amen. Number 6 is sensitivity, supernatural information, knowledge. The capacity to know things supernaturally you were not told. The capacity to know things you didn't go to school to study. sensitivity, supernatural information. And number seven was mentality or wisdom. We serve the only wise God. And like God's servant Bishop Oyedepo will say, the only wise God cannot be the father of the only foolish child. We are to flow in his wisdom and flow in his mentality of wisdom. That was number seven. We agree that all of these are the characteristics of divinity. God lives in all of those realms, and this is where we belong. Now, number eight is plenty. God lives and is characterized by the existence of plenty. Everything about God is plenty. Everything about God is abundant. We are talking about the realms of abundance, the realms of excess. That is the realm of God, who made us in his image. In the book of Psalm 24 and in verse 1, the Bible said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and not the emptiness thereof. The fullness is the God of fullness, not the God of emptiness. Is the God of plenty, abundance. What percentage of the earth is water? Is that not, maybe 70%? When you fly and you see the earth, you see Africa, you see South America, North America, Australia, Asia, all of them inside, plenty water. God could have made the waters few, little, but he just made it plenty. Look at the mountains. It could have been pebbles. He made them plenty. Look at the eagles. If you are talking of eagles, only the species of eagle species, eagle alone have over 10,000 species, different types. Everything about God is plenty. Everything about God is large. Everything about God is massive. He sits in the heaven and the earth is his footstool. How long is the leg? Are you hearing what I'm saying here? He said you and me are the apple of his eye. The black, the dot of his eye. Everybody in the world. Everybody who is at least his own. The apple of his eye. How big is the eye? How big is the head that carried the eye? How big is the neck that carried the head? How big is the body that amahashata kalabarada? Hey! That is the big, big, big God we serve. And I am happy because we are saying this on a blessing Sunday service. I want your mentality enlarged. I want smallishness of thinking destroyed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and in verse 14, David is speaking concerning God. He said, 1 Chronicles 29, 14, he said, all things come of thee. He said, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from you, and it is your own that we have given you. Of thine own have we given thee. All things come of the everything in the world comes from you, is owned by you. Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 6, all the way to verse 9. Haggai, you say, for thus saith the Lord, I will see at once, it is a little while,
and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of God is connected to the supplies of God, to the wealth of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. That is God our Father being identified and described in terms of very massive resources. Now, if you look at the life of our Master Jesus, Jesus operated a life, an earthly ministry, that was in lack of nothing. The life and ministry of our Master Jesus was in lack of nothing. In Matthew chapter 21 verse 1 to 2, at the time, he said, if they drew near unto Jerusalem, and we had come to Bethphage, and to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying unto them, go into the village that is over against you, and straight away you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks you, say to them, the Lord, Master of the universe, Emperor on wings, the Lord, Master, Landlord, Owner of the universe, he has the need of them. If anybody asks you, tell the person that he is not the owner. Tell the person that he is the caretaker. Hey! Tell the person that he is not the owner. Tell the person that he is only the caretaker. Tell the person that the real owner is asking for these, and they will send them. They will release. And truly, they said it like that, and they were released. Ay, 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 ay. That was in Mark chapter 11 verse 1 to 2. It was repeated in another form. But now look at the story of the upper room. In Mark chapter 14 verse 13 to verse 15. And he sent for two of his disciples, and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, already furnished and prepared. Make that ready for us. That is, whatever he needed per time was available. He will show you. It's a large upper room. It is ready. It is prepared. Take it. That was the master. Now in John chapter 6, when he was confronted with 5,000 men, not to talk of women and children, which are normally more anywhere there is miracle signs and wonders. In John chapter 6, verse 5 to 6, he said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company unto him, and he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? Did you understand that question? Philip said, this he said to prove him, for himself knew what to do. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. He was talking of where to buy the bread. Philip was thinking of where to get the money. They were talking from two different realms. As far as Jesus was concerned, money was not the problem. It is a question of who has enough bread to supply. We have enough money to buy if necessary. And Philip said, Oga, what are you talking about? 200 penny worth of bread is not enough. He said, forget it. Who is talking about money? I am living in a realm where money ceases to be an issue. That was what Jesus was talking about.
The one who created the whole world without a bank loan and has everything he wants. He owns the universe. He owns the silver and gold, the earth and all its fullness. They all belong to you.
There's nothing you don't have. There's nothing you can give, Lord. You are the hope of all the living,
the source of everything. Do you know when this song came? During the construction of this glory dome. I was standing at the construction of the first gallery. Saw around, massive concrete everywhere. Each of these pillars like this is one trailer of cement. Each one is one trailer. Each one. Money everywhere. I mean, what's going on here? How is, if I tell you now what we're spending a month at that time, it was beyond what was coming into the church a year. But it was flowing effortlessly. And I looked. Who can spend such money at this rate?
He owns the universe. He owns the silver and gold.
The earth and all its fullness. It all belongs to you. There's nothing you don't have. There's nothing you can give, Lord. You are the hope of all the living,
the source of everything. Ay, 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 ay. Your God and my God is about to show you his supply in this season. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are really a believer and you know he will show you his supply, shout it louder, say amen. Shout a louder believer, say amen. Money wasn't the problem, but he multiplied the bread for them. Whether it's to make the bread available by buying it, or to make the bread available by multiplying it, all of them were within his power. How do I know that? I know that because he employed a thief as a treasurer. Only somebody who doesn't know what to do with money can know that somebody is a thief and is consistently thieving the money. And you still leave the money in his hand, like steal everything you want, and let me know whether your thieving capacity can render me bankrupt. Hey! In John chapter 12 and in verse 14, or John chapter 12 from verse 4, you look at what happened. Now, after Mary broke the alabaster box, then said one of his disciples, okay, let's start from the beginning. Start from the beginning, yes. Then see this, before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Theologians said that this thing was 1 year's saving. 1 year. what she pulled. Very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus. And wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. He said, why was this ointment sold? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Anytime you see anybody talk like that, he's a Judas. He's a Judas Iscariot, either by betrayal capacity or thieving capacity. Anytime you see anybody talk like that, motive is insincere. Scriptures can be broken. Anytime. Why such money spend to go and win souls? Why don't they use it and do this or do that? Or do this and that? That is the voice. Those are generation of Judas. Trying to teach Jesus and his people what to do with the resources that they did not bring. Am I communicating? And look at what the Bible said now. He qualified it in verses. This he said. Not that he cared for the poor. Anytime you see many of these, oh, they should be helping the poor. They don't care for no poor. That is confirmed because most of such talkers have never done nothing for the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. Why? But he was a thief. Because he was a thief. Thief. And he had the bag. And he bare what was put therein. In other words, give me the money to thief it. Mary, if I catch you on the road, I'll deal with you. You have deprived me opportunity of stealing. This thing you wasted on Jesus, you wasted on crusade, you wasted on this or that, you wasted on building a church. This thing you wasted, give it to me, let me steal it. Only. Oshi. Onyoshi. Bara Okowe. Onyoshi. I have other Onya, but I won't call that one. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was it. He had the money to do whatever he needed to do. But he preferred. He did the miracle. That was the kind of master we had. Judas, no matter how desperate he was, he could not finish the supply. I speak to somebody here today. In a short while from now, your God and my God will take you to a realm of supply where it will be beyond your demand. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord the praise. And in John chapter 13 verse 39, when he told Judas, whatsoever thou doest, do it fast. John 13:39. Whatever thou doest, do it quickly. Some people said, they thought he said that to Judas to ask him either to give something to the poor or to buy something. So he was always in the business of giving. 27. No, not that. Yes, what that does, do quickly. Can you proceed beyond that? Proceed beyond that.
Some of them thought, 29, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. That is, he was, that was their business, either buying or giving. They had resources to buy or give. In Mark chapter 4 verse 36, when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Do you understand that? Not boat, not canoe, ship. That is, the master was moving, he was in ship and other little ships, because probably the ship could not accommodate only him. So he had other little ships that accommodated. You see, every time people talk and make it look like the Master Jesus was in penury, it's not accurate. When he said, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, it's not by lack of means, but by abundance of passion. I don't even have time to sleep. I don't even have, it's not a bankruptcy of what to have. But assignment is too abundant, I have not been able to sleep. Because if you just oppose it with the other place where the disciples of John heard him, and they said, Master, where dwellest thou? And he told them, come and see. And they followed him to where he dwelt. They couldn't return back to the wilderness. They remained with him. John was in the wilderness. He said, oh, God, you are on your own. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I receive the grace. I receive the grace to live according to your purpose and to manifest every characteristic of divinity in the name of Jesus. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. Who is that person that will carry 12 adults? Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Andrew, Philip. 12 men and their families. And they lived with him for 3 years. He fed them, sustained them, and cared for them. Bought food for everyone. I mean, how was that possible if with a scarcity mentality? It was not possible. Congratulations to your own, the church. This is your first day meeting. Give the Lord the praise. I'll pray for them later. Hallelujah. Supply. Jesus was always in the realm of giving supplies beyond demand. Somebody say supply. Above demand. Supplies exceeding demand. In John chapter 6 verse 9 to 12, where we just talked about, he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And at the end of the day, they took 12 baskets. Filled. That is, everybody was filled. And then there was balance. There was leftover. That is supply exceeding demand. In Luke chapter 5 and in verse 4, after he finished speaking, he told Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Peter was just looking for a catch of fishes. He was not anticipating a full ship load. The ship was loaded and sinking. Another ship was loaded and sinking. That is, you serve the God who gives you more than what you are asking for.
Would you like to be in that realm?
Where you receive from his hand what is beyond what you are asking for. I announce to someone today, he will confirm this preaching in your life, because you are about to see supplies and resources and results beyond your expectation. You believe it, shall the Lord say amen. You believe it, shall the Lord say amen. You believe it, shall the Lord say amen.
Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. And one thing I discovered from the marriage, the wedding in Cana of Galilee, is that lack does not exist where he is. John chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 11. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee and Jesus was called, and because he was there, it was not possible for the finished wine to remain finished. Lack can't exist where he is. And in your life today, I declare that the lack is over. In Jesus' precious name. Very, very quickly look at creation, and then we shall get into some conclusions. At creation, supply existed before demand. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 to 29. Supply existed before demand. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be from it. I've given you everything. Supply. Before Adam could look for food, food was ready. How many of you have passed the motor park or somewhere before where you see the signboard? Food is ready. That's the African motor park or something. Food is. Have you seen that signboard before? Food is ready. You didn't arrive there and they started cooking for you. Food was ready. Hallelujah. When God created Adam, I think there was a spiritual sign about food is ready. Adam, you don't need to feel hungry. You don't need to be hungry. You don't need to appear hungry. Food is ready. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 6. All right. Before I move there. God created Adam in Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16 to verse 17. And he did not place him in the wilderness. He placed him in the garden. Right, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden of Eden thou mayest freely eat. Of every tree of the garden. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Lift your voice and say, my life is designed for the garden, not the desert. Did you hear what I said? Say it louder. Say, my life is designed for the garden, not the desert. Say it louder like you believe. Say, in the name of Jesus, I reject desert existence. I reject existence of emptiness. I reject it. No! Give the Lord a 20-second victory shout. Shout it. Shout it. Shout it. Shout it. A 20 seconds shout of victory. Shout! Woo! 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 Victory shout! In Jesus' precious name it is done. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. in the presence of the Lord. Do you know that when God created man, he deposited things in the earth that Adam knew nothing about, that Adam had no need for, that Adam even wouldn't know what to do with them? Genesis chapter 2 verse 10 to 11. These were in the earth. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted, and it became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, which is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Carry gold at that time, give to Adam. He said, what is this? What should I do with it? Is it a stone? He might even use it for building. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium, and there is also the onyx stone. That is, there are things around you now that you don't even know they are there. There are treasures around our lives. There are divine deposits. And in the name of Jesus, in this season, your eyes shall be opened. Someone say a loud amen. Your eyes shall be opened. Your eyes shall be opened. Finally, before we draw the conclusion, look at the promises of God for his people concerning plenty. When I spoke about spirituality, you understood. When I spoke of supernaturality, you understood. When I spoke of vitality, you understood. When I spoke of liberty, you understood. When I spoke of durability, you understood. Sensitivity, you understood. Mentality, you understood. This one of plenty, you must understand. Job 36:11. He said, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Psalm 35 verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Somebody shout for joy. These are all from the scripture. Anybody who says anything to you that has no scriptural backing, trash it. Anybody, it doesn't matter who it is. Psalm 37, verse 25 to 26, he said, I have been young and I am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Your seed shall not beg for bread. Your offspring shall not beg for bread. And you shall not beg for bread. And you saw Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. And now Job chapter 22 and in verse 21. Job 22 and in verse 21. Acquaint now thyself. I'll read all the way to verse 25. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. He said, receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be your defense, and thou shalt have plenty
of silver. Scarcity of silver. Shortage of silver. How much of silver you have? How much of silver you have? How much of silver shall you have? Did you hear the testimony of that man who was trying to be friendly with the landlord to avoid serious hostility? You know, you have to be friendly with the landlord, right? Until God makes you a landlord. But his story changed. Now he has two properties of his own within the same city. Plenty of silver. Somebody this morning, you are stepping into that realm. You are stepping into that realm.
Now, whenever we talk in this realm, I like you to pay careful attention to how we speak. We spoke about supply with purpose. We do not talk about money without meaning. God forbid that we preach materialism. Forbid. What shall it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Money without meaning is a mess. So, what is the purpose for the plenty that God will give to his people? What is the purpose? What is the purpose? What is the purpose? What is the purpose? Number one, to avoid the harassment of lack in our service of God. Why would God want to give his children, his people? Why is resources necessary? To avoid the harassment, possibly embarrassment of lack in our service of God. Lack can be very harassing. Lack can be very embarrassing. If you remember the story of 2 Kings chapter 4, the widow of the prophet was confronted and harassed. Her two children were to be taken as bondmen because the father was in debt. A prophet died in debt, and the children were to be taken as collaterals. What a harassment, what an embarrassment. Lack can be a great mockery of your faith in God. In Joel chapter 2 and in verse 26, the Bible said, "Then, and you shall eat in plenty, and then you shall be satisfied." At the end of it, it becomes easy to praise the name of the Lord your God. Praise in an empty stomach is a challenge. Dancing with quick notice waiting for you at home. Pastors, that is why when you see everybody dance and some people are not dancing, don't lose your temper. Only them know what hold them. You understand what I'm saying? Credit or waiting. Children's school fees is due. Everyone leave your hands and let's appreciate God. God is a good God. And the person, I'm not too sure. I have not paid school fees yet. House rent expired. It's a harassment of your faith. It's a confrontation of your confidence in God. He said, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied." One of our children, when they were young, every time food arrives and they finish the eating, in fact, as the food is arriving, song started. "Oh Lord, my God, how excellent is your name." It is not that the child is hungry, but the food triggered a song.
he just finished eating now. Another.
It is very, very natural. You don't provoke people. You see, only a senseless person will make money make them to forget God. Only a senseless person will say that money has entered his hand. He is now, he can now travel, he cannot, and then he forgets God. Pushes out his wife, marries another wife. Only a senseless person will become badder, become a worse person. You see, and one thing I know is that money is neutral. It is neither bad nor good. Who is holding the money is the determinant of the character of the money. If a drug addict is holding the money, money is bad. If a rugged evangelist is holding the money, who is reaching to the souls of the lost? If a philanthropist is holding the money, if a charitable person is holding the money is good. If a killer is holding the money, he will go and buy more guns and go and buy more bullets. Money is bad. So you don't know the character of people until you give them money. The money in their hand will reveal both their character and show what money can do. Am I communicating at all? Money is very, very neutral. A person who wants to serve God, you give him resources, you deepen his relationship with God. You just deepen his relationship. He will now be able to get a lot of Bible tools, a lot of study materials. You'll be able to. Okay, they say there's a crusade in Canada. Say, I'm flying my way there. I just want to be in that climate. What can I do? Look at that Job we read now. I'd like you to look at it. That Job chapter 22, verse 21. Look at it again. Job 22 and verse 21. Look at it. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. He said, receive, I pray thee, the Lord from his mouth and lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now look at verse 26. It continues. After you have plenty of silver, what happens? For then shalt thou have delight in the Almighty. Ay, 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 ay. When that plenty of silver arrives, when the gold as dust arrives, it becomes easy if you are a sensible person. Place that verse 26. If you are a sensible person, it becomes easy to have thy delight in the Almighty and lift up your face unto God. Because you are not distracted by scarcity. You are not confronted by lack. You are not put to shame by poverty. So you lift up your face. You delight in the Lord. Oh Lord, how wonderful. So you are such a good God. I will serve you the rest of my life. All the days I served the devil, he did nothing for me. See what you are doing for me, Lord. You would delight in the Almighty. That is why it is necessary for you to have the resources and to have plenty of it. And I speak to somebody here by prophecy. The days of scarcity are over in your life. In order for your service of God to be qualitative, the days of scarcity, they are over in your life. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Number two, to be in the position. Why do you need the plenty? To be in the position to do good to all men. Especially those in the household of faith. To be in that position. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10. He said, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are in the household of faith. Let us do good unto all men, especially those
who are in the household of faith. Many years ago in Irrawaddy, I saw a very, very faithful, dedicated worker. And this has happened all the time. Let me just make it general. In one of the trips we went, one of the pastors in the locations told me, said, we gave our car to a member, committed, dedicated church worker. We just blessed the worker with a car. Do you understand? The time has come where members of the church, you see a man and his wife crossing the road. They come to church every day, early in the morning, and they are there all the time. Say, really, what's happening? Oh, yeah. I am overwhelmed by pay school fees. Really? All right. I want to get you a car. Follow me. What kind of car do you want? This is yours. Do good to all men. Can you do that in poverty? If you don't have what to eat, will you donate to teacher? You know, there is a proverb in our place in those days. Those ancient school teachers that taught in the village in those days, they used to donate yam and donate palm oil and donate egg. I'm sure some of you, they used to donate, say, this weekend, let's go give to teacher, and so on and so on and so forth. When they come to somebody's house, say, yeah, where is your own donation? Say, I don't have what to eat, I'll donate to teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? The commandment to do good is frustrated with scarcity. Look at this young sister here. I almost called you small girl. She has almost 100 or how many people under her employment, her payroll, within a short time. How are you going to be able to give people livelihood if you are struggling with what to eat? Am I communicating at all? How will it be possible? You clear somebody's child's school fees. You clear somebody's house rent. You even gabadaya bought somebody a house. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How are you able to do that? If you have shortage and scarcity, it is easier to do good with money than without it. In the hand, say, do good to all men, that with it than without it. You effortlessly be. You see, some people you think will think you are a wicked person. They say, our brother in America has forgotten everybody. He doesn't even send home, not knowing that he is struggling there. It is not wicked that he is wicked. It is have that he does not have. Have, he doesn't have. It is have that he does not have. Do you understand? Some people see you, you look chubby and you look like you are flourishing. But they don't know that you are still trying to make ends meet. And they say, he's a very wicked man. You ask him for anything, he will not answer you. How will he answer you? The Bible says money answereth all things. Answer comes by supplies. Am I communicating? Even if you don't need supernatural supply for your sake, you need it for the sake of plenty people who need your help, who need your help, who need your help, who need to experience the goodness of God from your life. You need it for the sake of the widows and the orphans and the stranded children who are unable to continue school. You need it. So we're not preaching materialism. I'm talking about let me get money so I can bypass my neighbor generator. No, we're not talking about what you want to achieve to make people know you are bigger than them. That is wickedness. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about what you get so that you can be the big person and everybody is the small person. And you are happy that they are all small. That's not what we're talking about. That's the kind of country we are in. That's not what we are talking about. We are not talking about the kind of money you want to get so you can oppress people with money. That's not what we are talking about.
We are talking about the kind of resources God will give you so you can liberate people, so you can set communities free, you can set families free, you can set destinies free. That is what we are talking about. Is somebody here trusting God for that kind of resources? Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive.
You went to the Philippines. No, we went to the Philippines. Did a crusade. Healings, miracles, signs and wonders. Woman is living on the street, sitting on the wheelchair with her husband. They live on the street. They abandoned their city and came into the capital of Philippines, Manila, living on the street. And she's on the wheelchair. Husband is pushing her. You finish praying for her, cast out devils. She stood up and began to walk and push the wheelchair. In another person's country, you heard their story. Look at her there. You heard their story that they are living on the street. And then, after they walked and became healed, you offered them livelihood in their own country. Offered them business in their own country. Offered them house in their own country. That was how she came. And now, she would stand up. We already prayed for her. They are demonstrating how she came. Stands up and dancing. Next day she appears. We had already clothed her, dressed her up, handed them over to a bishop. They are crying because of what we told them. We are getting you out of the street. See her? That's the same person the next day. Took her to shop, dressed her up. Clean. Do you see how beautiful that woman is looking? Compared with how she looked the other day. That's what life is about. That is what money to create meaning. This is replicated all over the world. That is why you must have. Somebody say, I must have. Say, I must have. Look at that is Bishop Joey who helped us to rehabilitate them. He took them to the shop. That's the man and his wife. Right in the shop, shopping. So they can go to their home and be reestablished. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord and lift up your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, as for resources, I must have it. I must have resources. Say, by every righteous means. Say it, by every righteous means. By godly means. By righteous means, I will have resources. And I will impact my generation. I will impact my world with the resources that God gives me in the name of Jesus. How many times have we put transformer in communities? Maybe one of these Sundays we'll just give a documentary. Transformers in communities, primary school blocks built, roads constructed, both in the north and in the north central. Boreholes, empowerment of scholarships, all this done, and we are doing mega ones now that we'll soon tell you about. Mega, 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 unbelievably mega. We're waiting for the right time to let you to tell you some of them. All that happens because of resources, and God commits it when He knows you are faithful. And he entrusts it when he knows you can be trusted. Somebody say a loud amen. Finally for today, why is resources necessary? Why is plenty necessary? Number three, to be in the position to spread and expand the kingdom of God in the earth. To be in the position to spread and expand the kingdom of God in the earth. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 19, he said, cry yet saying, my kingdom, 17, my kingdom through prosperity shall be spread abroad. Shall be spread abroad. Shall be spread abroad. Shall be spread abroad. We have come from the abroad. Yesterday, Canada, resources, money, spent to go there, spent to organize the program, spent to advertise. We have gone to Romania, money spent to go there, to organize the program, gone to the Philippines. We'll be going to India in September. They've sent us the budget of what it will cost for the crusade to hold there. Somebody is going to go there physically to assess some things before we send the resources. Alright, Brazil is calling us back to the northern part of Brazil. Are you following what I'm saying here? Uruguay is calling, and several others. The spread of the kingdom is on the wings of massive resources. Psalm 122 and in verse 9, David said, for the sake of your house, I will seek your good. One translation said, for the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek your prosperity. For the sake of the house of our God, I will seek your prosperity. When we read about Cyrus in Isaiah chapter 45, in verse 3, he said, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Verse 13. He said, I am giving you these resources because I raise you up in righteousness. I will direct his ways. He shall build my city. He shall use these resources to let go my captives. Not for price, nor for reward. Hallelujah. Somebody said to us, he said, we have seen another kind of crusade evangelist. He said, you come to us, you send the money, you organize the meetings, people are healed and delivered, and you don't demand money from us. No offering, nothing. You don't demand money from us. He said, this appears different. Not for price, not for reward. Not for entertainment. Am I communicating? Fly all the way to Nicaragua. Fly all the way to Panama. Fly all the way to Argentina. In the air. Easy. Even to fly from here to Lagos, easy. It isn't easy. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then you are just there permanently. Here is Panama. You are there, sorry, Nicaragua. You are there, just like that, on the go. Somebody say, a pastor told me, he said, crusade is very sacrificial. He said, that is the only investment where you have no return back. I said, there is return. The return of souls for eternity. He said, any money you put in is gone. It doesn't come back. Huh? Any money you put in is gone. That is. If you put money in the building, you see the structure. If you put money to buy buses, you see the buses. If you put money in the crusade, heaven sees the souls. Eternity sees the labor. That's Panama. And we see this. We see the labor. Do you understand what I'm saying? Heaven sees it. We see it. Eternity sees it. If we consider it like that, will anybody go out? If everything we do must be seen in the physical, in terms of this is the building that the money went into, this is it and that, or this is the business they brought, will anybody do anything for God, for heaven? Hallelujah. Somebody is blessed. I am looking forward for the day where somebody here will say, how much is the bill for the crusade of 1 year? We are going to Indonesia. We are going to, what's the other place? Thailand. And then Cambodia. 3 nations in 1 week. Sometime in October. Somebody will say, what does it take to handle that one? What does it take to handle a quarter's crusade? And somebody will also be able to say, oh, I want to buy vehicles that will carry people for crusade. Land vehicle, water vehicle, air vehicles. That is what resources is all about. In the name of Jesus, your hand will not be empty. Your hand will not be empty. Your hand will not be empty. I prophesy supplies in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and say, oh God of the plenty, oh God of plentiful resources, I stretch my hands and I receive in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, make me a part of what you are doing in the earth at this time. Say it louder. Say, Father, make me a part of what you are doing in the earth at this time. Say, Father, make me a part of what you are doing on the earth at this time. With resources, I am available. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. Very, very quickly, before I show you clips, what is our way into plenty? What? Because this is not something you just pray and claim. Number one, possess the God first mentality. Let God be first in everything you do. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Put God first in all that you do. Number two, identify divine commandments to obey. There are commandments God will give you. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 2. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe the things I will tell you, the Lord will set you on high, and all these blessings shall come on you. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What are you saying to me? Number three. So first, possess the God first mentality. Number two, identify divine commandments to obey. Number three, possess kingdom vision. What you are doing in the earth, I want to be a part of it. I want to be involved in building churches. I want to be involved in putting resources into crusades. Deuteronomy, Psalm 122 verse 9 said, for the sake of your house, I will seek your good. I will seek your prosperity. Father, give me money to be a part of what you are doing in the earth. Give me money to impact my world. Give me money. Give me resources. Possess that vision. Number three, number four, commit to the covenant of supernatural supply. The covenant of giving. Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Prove to God that you are not a stingy person. As it enters your hands, let the kingdom feel it. Let God feel it. Let the poor feel it. In tithes, in offerings, in givings. Don't think that you are doing a church a favor And don't think that it is something that you do when you feel like or when you don't feel like. It says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22, day and night shall not cease. Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there is a blessing in giving. There is a blessing in giving. Commit to the covenant of supernatural supply. Number five, walk in character and integrity. In all things, particularly financial dealings, walk in character, walk in integrity. Psalm 1 verse 1 to verse 3, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaves shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Walk in character. The character, especially in financial dealings. You remember Job? Job chapter 1, verse 1 and in verse 3. The Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. He was perfect, he was upright, he feared God, eschewed evil. His substance was 7,000 sheep. Look at the man. Perfect, upright, not crooked. Many people are crooked in their dealings and they want the God of heaven to bless them. It's not possible. Walk in character and integrity. Walk in character and integrity. Number six, walk in diligence. When God placed man in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 2 verse 5, he placed man. Okay, move to verse 6. 7. Okay, 8. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man to sleep there. No. He planted a garden in Eden. He put the man whom he had formed to walk the garden, to till the garden. Man was placed in the garden, not just to watch it, but to walk it. Not for fun, but for work. It will only produce in proportion to the work. Maybe that was why the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 10 to verse 12. Look at that. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 to 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any will not walk, neither should he eat. Keep going. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, very, very lazy. Walking not, they are not walking at all, busy bodies. Just moving up and down. Now them that are as such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness let them walk and eat their own bread. Tying wrapper in the house by 10 a.m. in senior brother's house who has gone to work and waiting for madam to bring breakfast. Yesterday's honor. Yesterday's moldable food. Wait, no. That is an abomination. As people who are going to walk, wake up in the morning. If work does not find you, find work. If they don't employ you, try and see how many people you can employ to work for you. Am I communicating? If you are lazy, life will never be less easy. The Bible said, in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 29, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 4, the Bible said, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Are you ready for Deuteronomy 28 verse 8? He said, the Lord shall command a blessing upon you in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. The blessing of God is looking for what you are doing. Walk with your head, walk with your hand. Think deep, think clear, think sharp. Combine strategy with energy. Energy, 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 strategy, strategy, strategy. Energy, 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 plus strategy, strategy, strategy equals destiny, destiny, destiny. Dignity. Am I communicating? You think far. Walk strong. Walk tough. Make up your mind that the principalities of your family will never render your life useless or render your hand poor. I know by the mercy of God, whatever I have done with my life, anything I had done with my life, I would have been at the top of it, the top of the ladder. Anything. Medical practice, all the way up. Physical work, all the way up. Or maybe business, transportation, like my father did, all the way up. Anything. Why? Because I knew that if you can't tie my hands and can't tie my leg and can't tie my brain, you can't tie my destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? 1986, one man lost $1 billion in the stock market crash. $1 billion. Next day he was playing tennis, Somebody said, you lost $1 billion and you are playing. He said, oh, why not? I was the one who made that one. He said, I knew how I made it. I have not forgotten. I will do it again and make it again. You don't die with anything that is dying. Wake up! Stand up and wake up! Hey! If I can travel how many hours yesterday and arrive here and be preaching like this, you need more response. Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Say in the name of Jesus, I cannot be stranded. I shall not be stranded. For the sake of the kingdom, I must conquer resources. For the sake of the poor and the less privileged, I must conquer resources in the name of Jesus. Every slackness of life, every limitation in your energy, every spirit of laziness and tiredness, I declare they are arrested. They are cursed to their roots in the name of Jesus. 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 Give the Lord a loud shout of praise and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, be faithful. Be faithful. The Bible said, walk in faithfulness. That's right. Proverbs 28 and in verse 20. Walk in faithfulness. He said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that is in a hurry to be rich, 419 rich, fraudulent rich, he shall not be innocent. He shall break his hand. But remain faithful. Be reliable. Be dependable. Be faithful. Be dedicated, faithful to God, faithful to duty, faithful to your boss, faithful in your workplace. Because the faithful servant today shall become a faithful boss tomorrow. Be faithful and you will not lack. I pray the blessing of God on all of this that Jehovah God has spoken to us today. Lift up your right hand and say after me, say, Father, thank you for your word. I give you the praise. I give you the honor for speaking to me today. Would you take just 1 minute in appreciation? 60 seconds. Lift your voice and take a 60 seconds appreciation. Take a 60 seconds. Open your mouth and go ahead and thank him for all the word. And thank him because the word shall be produced results. Lift your voice again and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I am grateful. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, open your mouth in prayers. Father, thank you for your word to me. Thank you for your word to me. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Blessed be your name. How many of you want to be involved in what God is doing on the earth today? Financially, prayer-wise, and otherwise. That grace is released for you. In Jesus' name. Take your seat 1 minute. We have the blessing Sunday. Communion is ready. Very soon we shall take and then release the blessing. Before we do all of that, so be patient. Shortly we shall be done. And for the glory dome, we shall resume back multiple services shortly.